You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Take your Bibles. We're in the book of Daniel today, Daniel chapter 3. And I say it all the time, and the older I get, I say it constantly. I certainly love you people. She was singing, and I was listening to the words, but I was looking at you. And you people are so amazing. To think that all of you got up out of bed this morning, got dressed, drove some of you for miles and miles, some for nearby, but you came to God's house. Amen. That has to thrill the heart of God. Just has to thrill God that His house is full today up on the balconies of the lower floor. And I appreciate you so much. I really believe God's given me this. I hope it's the right message. We're going to read, responsive reading, chapter 3. I'm not going to tell you how far we're going to go because we're going to go a little while. But let's begin. I'll begin in verse 1. You read verse 2. I'll read verse 3. You read verse 4. So on till I tell us to stop. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 80 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Verse 2, ready, begin.
Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent to gather together princes, governors, and captains of the army, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of provinces, to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar
the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, all the rulers of the province were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, that at the time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down, let's go down to verse number 11. And verse 11 says, and whoso falleth not down and worshipeth that which he should be cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Verse 12,
and there were certain Jews.
Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they brought the men before the king.
Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not serve the Lord your God, nor worship the
golden image which I have set up? Now ye be ready that at the time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, cast the same, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Father, I pray that you would wake us up to this 11th hour that we find ourselves. Perhaps this is the 11th hour this Sunday morning, the last time a person to hear the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of our Savior, how Jesus Christ came and lived and died a sinless life and paid for our consequence. Perhaps by noon or 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock today, someone will be perished and gone. It's the 11th hour. Help us to set our house in order is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. The 11th hour, if you'll look that up in Wikipedia or your dictionary, it just simply says this. It's right before midnight. When the midnight clock strikes 12, it's the last hour of the day. It says also You're at the end. When you're in the 11th hour, you are at the end of the event. Or the last definition is to place your house in order because it's the 11th hour. I don't know what hour it is in your life, but perhaps in life or death, this is your 11th hour. Perhaps this is the day, this today, the 23rd day of February, is the day you're supposed to get saved. Perhaps this is your 11th hour. You won't have a 13th hour. You won't even have midnight. You'll have the 11th hour. I read the account years ago of J. Frank Norris. J. Frank Norris pastored two churches at the same time. One was in Detroit, Michigan. The other was in Fort Worth, Texas. He did it for 13 years. They were the two largest churches of America. It was in the day he died in 1952. But when he pastored these churches, he would go by a rail car, and he was the one that guided our president during World War II. He guided many presidents. He had a voice. He literally ran Detroit, not the mafia. He ran Fort Worth, Texas. On Sunday nights in Fort Worth, they grew and they expanded. They expanded over the outside sidewalk balconies that went over, and you had to walk underneath the balconies. He had every Sunday night the Texas Philharmonic Orchestra played for his evening services. Thousands of people came, both locations. It was an amazing thing what God had done. Prior to pastoring those two churches, though, he was an evangelist, and he would go out and preach. He was out preaching. He was just getting started in the ministry. And he went to a town, and he preached. His wife was in Fort Worth, and he preached, and nothing happened Sunday morning. Nothing happened. Nothing. He was a fiery. They called him the Texas Tornado. I mean, he was a fiery preacher. But nothing happened, Brother Fennell. Nothing happened. And on Monday night, nothing happened. I mean, nothing happened. And on Tuesday night, nothing happened. He's supposed to go through Friday. But about Wednesday night, he packed his grip. A grip is a suitcase. He packed his grip. He took it out to a tree by the train tracks and was going to hop on the train and go home. He said, I'm done with this town. This town does not want God. This town is Ichabod. This town doesn't want anything that I'm preaching. I'm done. I'll preach. I'll go to that grip. I'll pick it up. I'll get on a train. I'm going home. But that night, a big 6'5" drunk, a young man came into the tent. He was preaching. And as he preached, he said, I sensed a touch of God like I'd never sensed before. And he said, I was preaching with passion. I was preaching with fire, knowing my grip is out there. I'm going to go get my grip. But at the same time, he said, God's using me right now. And he preached and he preached and he preached. And all of a sudden, that 6'5", big, tall, handsome boy who was a drunk, the town drunk, came down the aisle. And I'll tell you what, it broke loose. People all over that auditorium, that tent that night, began coming and weeping before God and praying and confessing their sins and getting right with God. That was the 11th hour for J. Frank Norris. He called it his 11th hour. The 11th hour when he almost quit the ministry. When there would not have been a great Fort Worth Baptist Temple, when there would not have been a great Baptist Temple in Detroit, when there would not have been these great churches. He about quit in the 11th hour. I wonder what you're quitting on in your 11th hour. I wonder what God has done in your life. Maybe you're saved, but God's doing something. Maybe today you're quitting on your marriage. It's the 11th hour. You don't quit on your marriage in the 11th hour. Maybe today you're quitting on your health. The doctor's giving you no help, and the medicine is not working, and you're just at the point, I'm giving up. I'll never give up. Amen. Never quit. In the 11th hour, you stay with it. Amen. Today we see the text before us, and in that very verse 15, in that same hour. In that same hour, that 11th hour, They said, "We're not going to bow, King." Oh, his rage was angry. God shall deliver you out of my hands. And Shadrach, verse 16, and Meshach and Abednego answered, said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter, if it be so our God." Don't ever forget God in the 11th hour. Our God, whom we serve, and by the way, serve him in the 11th hour. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. I like verse 18, but if not, if God doesn't choose to restore my marriage, if my husband walks out, if my wife walks out, if God doesn't choose to heal my broken body, if God doesn't choose to restore in the 11th hour, but if not, be it known unto thee, O King, we will not serve thy gods. You know what people do? I knocked on the door years ago. I got a man home in the afternoon. This has had to be in the 70s or 80s. I got a man home in the afternoon. There's a lot of men worked third shift in those days. And I got a man home and I said, "Sir, I want you to come." And he said, "I'm not going to church ever again." I said, "Why?" He said, "I was a Baptist deacon. I'm on the whole thing. I'm a Baptist deacon. I prayed. My mom was suffering some incurable disease, and I was young. I was in my 20s or so. And my mom, I prayed, 'Oh dear God, restore to health.' God did not answer my prayer. And I'm done with God." You can get done with God all you want, child of God. But God's not wrong, because my days are determined by thee, Job tells me. And God had a plan in that man's life. But in the 11th hour, he walked away from God. And he said, "I have no desire to go back." In the 11th hour, I know a man. I won't tell you who he was, because I've told you about him so many times. That man went into a business in 1960, 1959, and in 1960 he lost it. A few years later, cancer came. A few years later, a stroke came. But I watched that man live to 91. And that man, 93, that man, his home going is just a few days away. That man never quit. In the 11th hour when cancer came, he just trusted God. What am I going to do? When he lost the business, I remember watching that man. That man, for the next 10 years, the other two partners walked out of the business and they left him hanging with all the bills. And I watched that man move into a two-room house. Just two bedrooms. That's it. No living room. No nothing. I watched that man move into a two-room house. And I watched that man, a businessman, a salesman, same suit for 10 years. Clean as can be, but just threadbare. I watched that man take his shoes off and cut cardboard out. He never saw me seeing it. And I cut cardboard out and he put them in the soles of his shoes because the shoes were worn out. He could not feel, because for 10 years he paid that bill in the 11th hour. I've often wondered what happened to those two other men. But I watched that man just faithfully, in the 11th hour, he'd write his check every Saturday night to Calvary Baptist Church. That man in the 11th hour believed that God was still on the throne. Amen. I think in my Bible, in Matthew chapter 20, the Bible talks about a man hired all these people and he sent them out to work, and then a few hours later hired some more. A few hours in the 11th hour, he hired another crew and he paid them just as much as he paid the others. They didn't like that. They said, "We worked all day, it's not fair." But he said, "It's my money, I can do with it what I want." And in the 11th hour, he paid him for 12 hours of work. I think in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, I'm going to turn there for the sake of time. You don't need to turn there. But in the book of Revelation, in chapter number 20, chapter number 18, Revelation 18, verse 10. "And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication, have lived delicately with her, shall wail and lament for her. They shall see her smoke." It's the destruction of Rome and the religion of Rome on seven hills. It's the destruction of the papacy. The Pope is dying today, it looks like, or in this week perhaps. And it's its destruction. And God's word says, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in linen and purple and scarlet, decked with gold and precious stones. For in 1 hour, there's coming an 11th hour for Rome. And God says that all those great riches are come to naught. Joy just sang about it. Every shipmaster and the sailors and the trade of the sea that stood afar off, and they cried and they said, what is like under this great city? And in 1 hour, she's made desolate. The 11th hour. The 11th hour today. I think of how in the book of Acts, chapter number 16, Paul and Silas were put in jail, and at midnight they sang and praised God. But all of a sudden God shook that place where they were. And that jailer was at his 11th hour. And that jailer said, I pulled out my sword. I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to be killed anyway. Well, all these prisoners. And Paul said, do thyself no harm. It's the 11th hour. Do not do yourself any harm. We're all here. And he said, he fell down and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And thou shalt be saved in the 11th hour. I think of an Exodus 14. Exodus 14, 14. That was one of my verses I claimed. The Lord shall fight for you during COVID days. We met out here for 482 days. The Lord shall fight for you, Jack. He'll fight this battle. And look what God did. Amen. Those Israelites were fleeing, and they got to Pi-hahiroth. When they came to Pi-hahiroth, God turned them. God turned them. Brother Raisley, God turned them. It wasn't their idea to turn. God turned them. You know, you're going through these trials of life. God may have turned you toward those trials. God's trying to teach you something. And God turned them, and when he turned them, they're now right at the Red Sea, and the Red Sea's in front of them. The Egyptians were coming. They were pursuing them that night at the death angel, and the children of Israel came to the Red Sea. There's no bridge. There's no water. That's just water. There's no way to get it. They can't turn to the right. They can't turn to the left. The Bible said they're entrapped. They can't turn around, because the Egyptians were coming. But in the 11th hour, God showed up and split those waters wide open. And the Bible says he blew a wind through the night, and it dried that ground. And the Israelites walked over on the dry land. And the Egyptians came, and they got their chairs stuck in the mud. And all of a sudden they drowned. Why? In the 11th hour, they didn't trust God. But the children of Israel all were saved on the other side, in the 11th hour. A young couple got married. This is after World War II. She was so in love with him, he was in love with her. He was a farmer. She was a city girl. She didn't like the farm. After a year or two, she got irritated with the farm and said, I'm leaving you. He said, please don't leave. Let's work this out. She said, I'm leaving you. She packed her goods and she left, and his heart was shattered and broken. As she left, she was gone a year, and then 2 years, and then three. He became so despondent. He worked the farm, but he missed her so badly. He'd pray and ask God to bring her home, but God never brought her home. He didn't realize in the 11th hour, when he had come to the end of himself, he had prepared his shotgun to blow his head off. But God was working in her heart to come back home and get it right in the 11th hour. In the 11th hour, he took his life. In the 11th hour, she knocked on the door. But there was no answer. She went to the barn and he wasn't there. She looked at the fields. There was not anyone there. She looked at the belongings that he had, the vehicles, they were all there. She went to the front door and opened the door. It was open. She said, "Robert! Robert!" Only to find him dead on the ground in the 11th hour. By the way, let me throw this in there. Don't ever take your life. That's the ultimate self-trip. Don't ever take your life. There's too much life yet ahead. You're in your 11th hour, I know. There was a television program that came out in 1962. It was called The 11th Hour. Psychiatrists met together and they were helping people with their emotional problems. It was the 11th hour. It's your 11th hour for you that are in this room that are drunkards today. It's your 11th hour. It's 11th hour for you drug addicts today. It's the 11th hour for you bus teenagers up here. God wants to do something with all of our lives. It's 11th hour for your marriage. Number one, I want you to just think about it. The 11th hour seems so hopeless. Are you hopeless today? There's no hope in sight. The 11th hour always seems so hopeless. My wife and I, we've been there with this church 49, almost 50 years. We've been there so many times, haven't we? Look like we don't have any space. We don't have any classrooms. We don't have any room. But look at 50 years later, God's given us 250,000 square foot of building space.
Amen.
And it's all paid for. I know it's not a lot, but it's in the heart of the Silicon Valley. God gave us 7.25 acres. We have no parking. You've parked all over. We have hundreds of stalls, but they're taken up immediately. And you parked all over. I pulled my golf cart around here today, right before church. And I pulled in my parking. I was watching people walking in from all over this region, walking into this church. I thought, dear God, they need a parking lot. Can I tell you something? When it seems hopeless, God's going to provide. We were before the city council in 1981, and the city council said, John said, his daughter later became the mayor of the city. John Mahan said, "Why don't you use public schools? They're public, and park there." And the city council bought it, but you know, public schools are no longer public schools. We've called them and tried to say, okay, you got it chained up. We want it unchained because we want to use our public school. They said, well, the city doesn't own, the county owns them, and the county won't let you park there anymore. We have to charge you per vehicle, but we're not going to charge you because we don't want you parking on our public school. Oracle, where we parked for over 20 years over here, a woman's in charge of the security now. She called us a few months back and said, "I don't want you parking here. We have tried everything and everything, and we can't park there." Down here at the end of the street, there's only 2 acres left in this city. There's not even 1 acre. There's 2 acres left. It's down here. It's for sale for $16 million, just 2 blocks down. And we called the man again this week, said, "Let us just park there Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, next week." And he goes, "No, I don't want you parking on my parking lot." There is no hope in sight for this church. Friend, child of God, you listen to me. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. And if God wants us parking at Oracle, our Montague School, our 415 Eldo down here, God will provide a way. There was a day when we could not park on this parking lot. There was a day we could not even get in here. And then they said, all right, we'll hire a guard and he'll open the chain and you can park. And then they said, well, that's not working. Why don't you just get the key yourself and move the chain? And then they said, why don't you rent our building over here, Stanford Applied Engineering, for $1,000 a month. We'll pay the utilities. You can have Sunday school there. Hey, I want to tell you something. This property is owned by North Valley Baptist Church. God can do anything, even in the 11th hour. Brother Patrick, it's in the 11th hour where you see God. God does great things in the 11th hour. In the 11th hour, one, when it seems so hopeless, there's always hope in God. My marriage seems so hopeless, there's always hope in God, Robert. Don't take your life. Secondly, when you seem so lonely, you ever get the feeling that in the 11th hour you're always lonely? Maybe the devil's convinced you your husband doesn't care, your wife doesn't care, your church doesn't care, the pastor doesn't care, nobody cares, and you're lonely in life. Maybe you're a widow or a widower. You think, my kids are grown up, they're gone. But not only is there hope when you feel so hopeless, but there's also comfort when you feel so lonely. I think of that song, Does Jesus Care? When my heart is pained too deeply for myrrh or song, and my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks, is it not for you doth he care? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. Oh, God cares when you're lonely. When nobody loves me, everybody hates me, I'm going to go eat some worms. God loves you. And there's hope. And thirdly, and I'm done, when it seems so impossible. In the 11th hour, everything is not possible. You know, our governor hates us. Our city council doesn't love us like they used to. Lord willing, our mayor's coming next week and she's not really friendly to us. She might be watching. Things have changed. And it seems so, it's all so impossible. God specializes in things thought impossible. Let me tell you in closing about Norma Jean. Norma Jean Mortensen was such a sweet girl. But she grew up in a dysfunctional home. Her dad left her. Her mother was schizophrenic. She'd wind up in nut houses everywhere. And Norma Jean was so bothered. She grew up in an orphanage. She grew up in a foster homes. But everywhere she went, even as a young girl, it's hard to believe what I'm going to tell you. Norma Jean was violated physically by men. She went to one foster parent and reported this man was doing this to her. And the woman said, keep your mouth shut, he's a paying customer. You're not paying hardly anything, he's paying a lot to live here. She lived that way. She became a teenager and was very, very beautiful. Beautiful girl, just a beauty. But every man that came into her life, uncles and you name it, all took advantage of her. She married and it didn't last. In fact, all of her marriages didn't last. She married Joe DiMaggio, the great baseball, and it didn't last. She became a movie star. She got tied up with JFK, John F. Kennedy, as a lover. She sang happy birthday to him, and Jackie Kennedy got so upset because it's so sensual. She called her publicist one day at age 36, and she said, I'm going to commit suicide tonight. Her last conversation was with that publicist, and he man that set up all of her career opportunities. And said, what is that to me? I could care less if you die or not. The phone was off the hook the next morning when they discovered her body was filled with barbiturates. She was 36 years old. Most of you would not know her name, but us, we that are older would know it's Marilyn Monroe, the beauty queen for America. In her 11th hour, she could not find one person that cared for her. How about you? Jesus cares for you.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.